Good morning, happy Sabbath. All right, let us bow our heads for a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for another opportunity for us, Lord, to come together from all the stress and the drama and the things that have been stressing us this week, and Lord, to allow us to rest in you. So Lord, we pray now that your spirit will be upon me. I pray, Lord, that they not see me, but see you speaking through me. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. May hearts and minds be open. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so before I get started this morning, this is going to be a mature message, okay? So I'm going to say some things that may cut a little bit. So are y'all okay with that this morning? Ain't nobody gonna be mad at me today? Maybe. So with that being said, I want everybody to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll get started. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to start at verse 25. 1 Kings 18, verse 25. I'm going to try to move a little fast. When you have it, say amen. I don't want to leave anybody behind. 1 Kings 18, verse 25. Verse 25. All right, y'all ready? Listen carefully to these scriptures. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself. Dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your gods, but don't put any fire up under your altar. Verse 26. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal. From how long? Ooh, imagine if church service was that long. Morning until evening. Morning till noon. Saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was what? No what? No voice. Nor any that what? And they leaped upon the altar, which was made. 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah did what? What does it mean when you mock somebody? Oh, your God can't hear you? He can't talk? He can't speak? He started cracking jokes. And then Elijah said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he's talking, or maybe he's going after somebody, or he's on a journey, peradventure. Maybe your God is sleeping. And he must be what? Awakened. And they cried what? Aloud. Here we go. And they did what? And they cut themselves after the manner with what? Knives and lances till the what? Blood gushed out. Kenny, let me hold it. The small. Yep. What did they do to themselves? They cut themselves, right? See what Kenny is giving me right here? What is this? I know, Kenny should be ashamed of himself, right? Now, notice on this, there's a serrated edge, right? Now, can y'all imagine me and Monica and Kenny up here today? And she says, okay, while I'm doing intercessory prayer, I'm gonna cut you the whole time we're praying. I'm gonna make you with a pouch. So why is the church deathly quiet right now? No volunteers? We talk about people in other religions like there's no dedication, but I don't hear anybody in here saying they want to be cut on for the whole time. Does this make it real? Do you have this type of dedication? Let me ask you this. So, well, let me say this. One thing that they used to do when they used to do their sacrifices, they would slice themselves and they would mingle their blood with the blood of their sacrifice. Now in the Bible, what does that do to the sacrifice? Doesn't that defile it? Defile it. Some of us have a hard time hurting an animal, and you're talking about cutting yourself and animal at the same time. That can get pretty rough, right? You know what? Aren't y'all glad God didn't ask us to do anything crazy like that? Can you imagine the greeter meeting you at the door, and when you walk through the door, happy Sabbath, you're bleeding when you walk into service? Think about that for a minute. Aren't y'all glad Jesus doesn't require that from us?
Amen.
Isn't it such a wild religion to ask somebody to do something like that? Y'all agree with me, right? Should we always do what Jesus asks us to do? We should, right? I can't hear y'all. Y'all sound a little low. We should always do what Jesus asks us to do, right? Okay, I heard y'all correctly, right? Okay. Ken. That's right. Come here. Now don't smile now. No, don't smile. Somebody go to Matthew 5, verse 30. Come on up here, brother. You know, I want you to feel some type of way about this, okay? Okay. Somebody read Matthew 5, verse 30. Yeah, I need somebody to read Matthew 5, verse 30. I need you to say it loud, too, because now what did y'all just tell me? We should always what? Do what Jesus says. Okay, so. Oh, hey, have you ever done anything with your hands you weren't supposed to? Come on, I don't want to hear that now. Put your hand up here. Put your hand up here. Put your hand up here, Kenny. Look what Kenny gave me. Oh, man, he upgraded. Wow. Okay, now, should I?
No.
What? But y'all just told me I got to follow Jesus. Wait a minute. What do we say when somebody tells you not to follow Jesus and what the Word say? What you supposed to go with? Supposed to go with the Word, right?
Yeah, but Jesus spoke in parables. It was an example. It wasn't to be literal.
You have a lot of friends in this church.
That's great. I love it.
But we're going to follow Jesus, right? Yeah, I can't hear you.
Not at this moment.
Not at this moment. Oh, that is a good one. Raise your hand if you're confused right now. Do I have y'all attention? I have your attention, right? So, y'all telling me I shouldn't cut his hand off. But he said he's done something wrong with his hand before.
Is the other hand?
We're going to let you sit back down. But hey, me and Kenny got your number now. We're going to call you back, Kenny. I shouldn't do it? Oh, I was just going to help him out. You know, we want to help people follow the Word. So, all right, so let me make sure we got this right. So now y'all told me that that's not literal, right? That's what y'all said, right? Okay. Does anybody remember the story of a king? And he was in court one day, and it says two women came in. And it said both of them just had fresh biscuits out of the oven, and one mother laid over on top of her child at night by accident. And the Bible says, what happened to that child? The child died. But then what did she do? She grabbed the other baby by the leg and slid him across the floor. Put him in her arms. Went to sleep. Now, when real mama woke up, what did she say? Where's my baby? And what she said? I don't know what you're talking about. So guess what? There was a dispute. What mother would not fight for her child, right? But then they go to court. Says King Solomon, this lady stole my baby. She said, no, I'm not. No, I didn't. This is my baby. So what did King Solomon do? What? I like your answer. So we should cut people, right? No, so look, now you're confusing me now. I'm confused. Every time the Bible say cut somebody, y'all say really don't cut them. Maybe the Bible telling the truth and y'all don't know what y'all talking about. But did he tell the soldier to pick the baby up? Did he say, I'm going to divide the baby in half? And what was he going to do with both halves? Going to throw both halves to the mama, right? But what happened when he did that?
Real mother.
Oh. So the Word of God sometimes can cut to the heart, right? And get straight to the issue and find out what's going on. Is that what y'all saying Matthew 5:30 is about? God wants to cut us to the heart of the issue that we have. That sound about right? It sounds like y'all just don't want to be cut today. That's what it sounds like. So, I want you to just follow me for a second. So Hebrews, listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4. Listen to this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and what? Sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. What? You ever notice when you have a two-edged sword, do you have an advantage over a one-edged sword? Why? Because if I miss, I can do what? No, you ain't got a way. I can come right back the same way. Okay? So it says, piercing even to the what? The dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and intents. Okay. In Luke 2, 34 and 35, the Bible says the word of God can pierce your what? Heart. Deuteronomy 10, 16 says to circumcise your what? Heart. Wait a minute. What is circumcision?
Removal of flesh.
So, can Kenny pull the knife back out? Sorry, I'm about to talk with you about your Bible studies over here, man. Every time the Bible say cut, y'all say don't cut. It's a what? It's a spirit. Oh, a spiritual knife. I've never seen a spiritual knife. So, when the Bible says circumcise your heart, well, first, oh, time to have an adult conversation. What is circumcision?
Literally.
It's in the Bible, right? So we can talk about this, right?
The males are what?
But y'all told me the Bible said you're not supposed to cut people.
That was done by the priest.
Oh, that was done by the priest. I'm a priest. Context matters. We got a guy over here saying context matters. So, I'm gonna ask you something. Who did it start with? Abraham, right? So, first of all, what did Abraham do that was wrong? He was supposed to be in, him and Sarah were supposed to be waiting on a what? Promised child. But Abraham started to doubt. Sarah started to doubt. So Sarah came up with this great idea. Husband, I have someone else that you can lay with. Does the Bible say it was a long argument? Or he jumped right on that?
No argument.
I don't remember the Bible saying it was a long argument for 4 or 5 chapters on that. But guess what? He did it, right? Did a baby come as the result of that?
Yeah.
Ishmael, right?
Yeah.
Now, when God made his next appointment with Abraham, he said, good job, Abraham. You and Sarah helped me out a lot on that one. He didn't say that?
No.
Y'all sure? Because y'all not doing good today in Bible studies. Y'all positive, right? Okay. That's not the promised child. But did you know what God said? God said, because you was thinking with your small head and not your big head, now I'm going to cut your small head shorter. Every man in here should have quipped just like that. And I'm still going to bring the promise to pass, and now you got less than what you had the first time. It is not through our flesh. It is through his what? Spirit. God cuts for a purpose. Y'all still with me? But did Abraham get cut literally? Yes. How many of you think Abraham was excited about that? I guarantee you that would have been the first argument me and the Lord would have had. I would have turned into Cain right there from the get-go. Lord, you can't put a mark on me? You can't curse my fruits on the ground? Do you have to cut me? I said, no. I got to cut you. I'll teach you a lesson. It's getting real, right? It's getting real. So, but you know what? Aren't we always happy when God wants to cut us? Go to Acts 7:51. Can we resist being cut by God? Acts 7, verse 51. What does it say? So, you know what, Kenny? You and me together. You and me good in the judgment. See, you and me ain't resist cutting people. We want to do what the Bible say. What the rest of the church want to do? Huh? Y'all don't want to be cut. Me and Kenny want to pull a knife out and cut somebody. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. But the Bible says, you know, it's funny, when God pulled a knife out, we're running. You know, if the doctor tells you you got surgery, do you run from the doctor or you set your appointment for surgery? You make an appointment. Oh, you want to be cut now, huh? Y'all wishy-washy. Y'all know that. Y'all wishy-washy. No, ain't no anesthesia then. Did the Lord tell Sarah to give Abraham anesthesia before he? No. Can you imagine being a grown man and told that you have to do that? I'd have cried the whole way. There's no way. There's got to be another way. Do we do the same thing with God when it comes to our lives? Go with me to Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. Exodus 4. Y'all getting tired of my stories? Exodus 4, verse 24. God told Moses to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh what he need to do. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, listen to this. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to what? Wait a minute, am I reading my Bible right? Does the Bible say God wanted to kill Moses before he went to Egypt? Are y'all confused? Eric, oh, we confused. You have good reason to be confused. Why would God go through this amazing, beautiful story of a burning bush, then tell Moses to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh what he needs to do, and then God meet him at the hotel and say, I'm getting ready to cut you down? That doesn't make sense, does it? Go to verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp what? And cut off the foreskin of her what? And cast it at his what? Feet, and said, surely a what? Bloody husband art thou to me. Verse 26, so he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of what? Ooh, wait a minute, wait a minute. So you telling me God told Moses ain't got no business going down to Egypt telling Pharaoh what to do, and Moses hadn't cut his son yet? How do you go and tell somebody else that they need to follow the Lord when you are not following the Lord yourself? Can you imagine how the story would have went? Pharaoh, obey the Lord. Moses, are you obeying the Lord? Kenny, it seems like me, God's pretty serious about cutting, right?
Oh, yeah.
Before I try to bring somebody else to Jesus, have I let Jesus cut it? Cut on my heart first.
Well, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and they weren't Christian.
They wasn't.
So he wasn't, in his early years, he wasn't taught the right way.
Ooh, but he was out there with the Lord. How long? With them sheeps. Ooh. Lord taught Moses a lot out there, didn't he? Why was it met so seriously? Because God's like, you know better than this. Matter of fact, what would have happened if he'd have went down there not obeying the Lord, not under the Lord's protection? Pharaoh was going to get him anyway. God in his mercy was going to take, hey, you know what? I can tell you right now how this story going to end. It ain't going to be no Exodus story like it's supposed to be. But was Moses' wife happy about the cutting of her son? It seemed like she was talking trash at the same time. Was she happy about her son being cut? No. Was she like, you know what? Remember I tell y'all all the time, think about the mindset of a Bible character. How many of you, imagine that you are Moses' wife and y'all are going and you got to a hotel and God appears before you, say, I'm getting ready to cut your husband down. Do you have an attitude about it? Wow, see, right there, it should let us know that people in the Bible are just like us. We say, oh, the Lord was real. People act right. No, he won't. You have to have God in here for him to change you. If he ain't in here, you're going to act the same way you always acted. She got mad. And then she threw it down at Moses' feet like it's his problem. Can you imagine being a husband? What you want me to do? You want me to tell him no and everybody die? So, let it sink in for a second. You know, the Bible says when we carry a lamb, if I committed a sin, I'm supposed to carry a lamb to the sanctuary, right? Now, when I put the lamb on the altar, was I supposed to pet the lamb? I wasn't supposed to hug the lamb? Is it a song that does any? Am I supposed to start singing? Am I supposed to start doing? What was I supposed to do to the lamb? Wow, God requires cutting in his service? I'm supposed to cut the lamb's throat. But when the lamb died, what was I supposed to remove from the body of the lamb? Not the blood. Blood's going to come out already. Fat. The Bible says, after you cut that lamb, open it up, dig inside, take that out. Is this a very pleasant experience? What does this represent? I come to Jesus. I place my hand on the head of the lamb. Now, you know, tradition says you're supposed to lean upon the lamb. What that represent? Your sins crushing out the Lamb of God. What does the Bible say when Jesus walked in the Garden of Gethsemane? Go back and read Matthew. It says, as soon as Jesus walked in the garden, the Bible says Jesus' feet became heavy. Right then and there, God placed the weight of the world and all sins on top of Jesus. And he said, Peter, James, John, he said, I need y'all to be with me. And the Bible says Jesus just buckled. When we do that, I'm supposed to accept that this lamb takes my place, right? Jesus does take my place, right? He does take it, right? But here's the thing. After I accept him, I got to go out and pull all that stuff in my life that I'm not supposed to have. And what does the Old Testament say a person was supposed to do with the fat of the animal? He's supposed to give it to the priest. I'm supposed to search my life, see all that nasty stuff that I got that I need to remove from my life, and I need to give it to who? Jesus. And the Bible says he takes it away. That is a perfect example of how you and me are cleaned up when we go to Christ. But guess what, Kenny? We got to do what first? We got to cut. Y'all been fighting me all my whole sermon about this. Is it painful to cut yourself? It's very painful. Nobody likes to be cut, right? But you know, I have to let Jesus in before he can start cutting, right? I have to make an appointment with the doctor and the surgeon, right? Before he can actually perform his duties, right? That's how it works. In Revelation, about to end this. In Revelation, it says that there's a message that goes out to everybody and says, come out of Babylon, my people, that you be not partakers of her plagues. And Jeremiah says, because the Lord is going to come and do what, Kenny? Cut you asunder. If I don't let Jesus cut on me now, he will cut me down later. If you don't let him slice your heart now, he's going to cut you down at your roots later. Matter of fact, what kind of weapon does the Bible say Jesus holds when he comes back? It says he's holding a sharp. What do you do with a sickle, Kenny? How you harvest? Say that word again. Y'all don't like being cut, do y'all? We didn't know the Bible said so much about cutting, did we? We should see cutting in a completely different light after today. What's the difference between pruning a tree and trimming a tree? When you prune a tree, you do what? Ooh. It's designed to do what, Kenny? Pruning is supposed to remove diseased branches. It's supposed to make the tree more healthy and help the tree to grow. Are you letting Jesus take that knife and come in now and cut all that stuff out of your life so he can make you healthier, happier, make you a better person? What does the Bible call us? The Bible calls us trees. Specifically, we're called what type of trees? Fruit-bearing trees. We're supposed to produce the what? Fruit of the Spirit. Any tree that Jesus goes to and he doesn't find fruit, isn't there a literal story in the Bible where he went to a tree and he was looking for fruit and he didn't find it? It was cursed, right? And that tree was what? Destroyed, right? What happens to all trees that he comes to and he doesn't find fruit? What does the Bible say? Matter of fact, y'all probably can finish the verse. And the axe is laid at the what? Root of the tree. So, I'm going to end it with this. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 26 and 27. Y'all remember when Moses went up to the top of the mountain? And when Moses went up there, was Moses up there a long time? Matter of fact, he was up there so long that people said, we don't know what's going on with him. Did Moses come back when they least expected it? Is Moses a type of Christ? Is Jesus going to come back when we least expect it? Y'all remember the typology? I don't tell y'all the typology so many times. We should know it by heart. How does it go? When Moses was born, a decree went out to kill what? All children 2 years and under. When Jesus was born, a decree went out to what? Kill all kids 2 years and under. Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. Jesus is called to deliver us from the world. Before they were allowed to leave Egypt, plagues fell upon Egypt. Before we are allowed to leave the world, what does Revelation say comes? The seven last what? Plagues. If you study the seven last plagues, they actually correlate with the ones that fell upon Egypt. Maybe the Bible's trying to tell us something. So Moses is a type, right? So Moses comes down when they least expect it. What kind of condition did the Bible find them in? Did they have their clothes on? They were naked. Now, I don't even know if y'all reading the right Bible now. The Bible says they were naked. Can you imagine watching the guy take down Egypt with plagues, and he walks down from the top of the mountain, and you are naked, you have no clothes on? What are you feeling?
They had no shame.
They had some shame. The Bible said they were trying to hide. How are people going to be when Jesus comes back and you have not allowed him to cut stuff? Oh, I'm going to be the same way. But what did the Bible say happened after that? It says, tell those who are with me, stand on this side. Those who are not with me, stand on the other side. And Moses gave the people who were with him swords. What happened to all of those people who did not stand with the Lord? They were cut down. You know, we laugh at those priests because they hooping and hollering and jumping around their altar and the sheer dedication that they have for following their Lord, even being cut down. I mean, it puts us to shame for how serious we are about God. So the question is, and I leave everybody with this, will you allow the gardener, Jesus? Because you know, Jesus is a gardener, right? Who planted the Garden of Eden? Jesus. The Bible says when Mary was crying after the resurrection, it says that a person walked up behind her and said, "Why are you crying?" And the Bible says Mary didn't even look at the guy because she thought the guy was the who? Gardener. Adam fell in the garden. Jesus overcame and resurrected for us in a garden. He is the gardener. Matter of fact, in the parable, there was a king that said, cut down a tree. But then who came up and told the king not to do it? The gardener. What did the gardener do? He said, I love all my trees. Let me dig a trench around it. Let me give it water. Who gives us the water of life freely? You see how our Bible is so connected? We hear these stories, but we don't put them all together. The gardener says, will you allow me to trim your branches, to prune and cut you now? Or are you going to be cut down later when he returns? That is the question I'll leave you with today. Amen.